chapter 7, verse 14. I'm going to read this verse, and then we'll go to the book of Luke. But here's what it says. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. See, the virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him Emmanuel. Everybody say Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now let's jump over to the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 26. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Somebody say, with God. I'm going to go back to verse 28. The angel came to her and said, greetings, favorite woman, the Lord is with you. So we've been in this series for the past few weeks called All I Need for Christmas. We've been looking at these different gifts that God wants us to experience in the season. If you missed any part of the series, I would encourage you guys to go back and check it out. But last week we talked about the gift of joy. Today I want to talk about this gift that God wants us all to experience called the gift of presence. Somebody say presence. The gift of presence. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you for who you are. We thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus. I pray, Father, in this season, God, that as we're ripping and running, as we're doing shopping online and in person, that we would take moments to slow down, to be with you as you are already with us. I pray, Father, in this moment, to remove distractions. Help us to be present in your word. Help us to receive what it is that you have for us. In Jesus' name. And everybody loudly said amen. 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 You can go to your seat. The gift of presence. Let me ask us a quick question. How many of y'all, just by a show of hands, love presents during Christmas time? If you're not raising your hand, you're lying. Because I think everybody loves to get gifts and presents during this time. Obviously, children love to get presents. Christmas is like the most favorite time of the year for many children because they look forward to the different gifts that they may get. And if your kids, if you have children or nieces and nephews are like ours, they've been making a Christmas list since July. They've been telling us. They've been planting seeds for months now of what it is that they want. But one of the things that I love about this season that we're in is this gift giving, this gift of presence. As we've been talking about for the past few weeks, we're in this season of Advent. And in case you don't know what Advent means, it is a word that means the arrival of someone important. It is also a time of waiting and preparation, essentially for us as Christians, for the birth of Christ. So this season, especially for those who were present 2,000 plus years ago, it was a time where people were waiting the promised Messiah. For us, we know that Jesus has come, but we also find ourselves in a time of waiting because now we are waiting for the second advent or the second coming or the second return of Christ. And this Advent season was a season created by the church some thousands of years ago to celebrate the arrival of Jesus. It's a season for us to slow down. And the reason why I want to kind of emphasize that right now as we get into this message today is because as these next few days progress, you know, as Christmas Eve approaches and as Christmas Day approaches, the speed of our life might begin to, you know, ramp up a little bit. The pace of our life might begin to ramp up a little bit. Where we're trying to do some last-minute shopping, where we're going from here to there, and things in our life might begin to pick up some speed. But I want to actually encourage us to do something completely different than culture. I want to encourage us not to speed up, but to slow down. To allow ourselves the time and the space to process, to reflect, to give thanks to God for the arrival of Jesus. I want to encourage us in this season to spend time in the Word, because you got time for everything else. Yeah. you got time to be with Jesus. Wouldn't it be a sin and a shame for us to not spend time with the one who we're celebrating this season? We say Jesus is the reason for the season, but we don't spend no time with him. And I'm not talking about just on Sundays. I'm talking about during the course of the week. In the mornings when you wake up, spend time with Jesus. As you're working throughout the day, spend time with Jesus. As you end your day, spend time with Jesus. How many of y'all have ever felt like the Christmas season just flies by? Y'all ever felt like that before? And I think part of the reason why we feel that way is because we allow the calendar to dictate our pace rather than allowing Jesus Christ to dictate our pace. And so December 25th comes and goes. And here's what I personally believe. I reflect on this quite a bit. I was actually thinking about it last night. You know what I think is so special about the Christmas season? I don't think it's just the day itself. I think it's the days leading up to the day. Because think about it. It's the time where everybody's playing Christmas music. There's the time where lights are going up. There's the time where people are walking around. You hear it everywhere. You hear it in the stores. I'm hearing Joy to the World in the gymnasium, working out. People are singing about Jesus and don't even realize it. Matter of fact, case in point, I was working out a few weeks ago, and I heard two dudes in there. They were trying to sing Joy to the World. And they were like, I don't even know the second verse of this. I know some of the words, but I don't really know all the words. And I just found it to be very, very interesting, because it's like the name of Jesus and the words of Jesus are on people's lips a lot in this season and don't even realize it. So I believe that what God wants us to experience in this season is he wants us to experience him. And I think what makes this season so special is not what happens on the day, December 25th, but it's what happens leading up to it. Cultivating our hearts, preparing our hearts to celebrate Jesus and his arrival. I think that's what it's about. Because, case in point, when December 25th comes, and the next day hits December 26th, Christmas music goes off. Well, I mean, not in my house. It's going to stay on, you know. But when you go to Target on December 26th and Walmart, they're starting to put stuff out for Valentine's Day. They're starting to take down decorations, you know what I mean? Like because our culture doesn't know how to slow down long enough to process God. But the people of God, God says, in this season, I want you to slow down. I want you to slow down. And we don't like to wait for anything. We want everything Burger King have it your way. We live in a microwavable generation, but I want you to understand, in God's kitchen, there's not microwaves, there's only crock pots. He does things slow, but it's always on time. And in the season where the pace is frantic, God says, I want you to slow down so you can experience the gift of joy, so you can also experience the different gifts that I want you to experience in this season, so you can experience the gift of peace. Many of us, the reason why we don't have this peace yet is because we're moving at a bad pace. But not only does God want us to experience this gift of peace and this gift of joy, but he wants us to experience this gift of presence in this season as we slow down. I recently found this poll done by the Barna Group that discovered that 31% of Americans experience loneliness daily. Another study was done by the Harvard Graduate School of Education. This poll was a little bit higher. They found that about 36% of people feel lonely frequently. 36% of people feel lonely frequently. And out of those 36% of people who feel lonely, 61% of those people were between the ages of 18 to 25. So when we look at statistics like this, what it reveals is that in the midst of having positions and possessions and platforms, many people feel lonely. 36% of people, that's like almost like one in three people feel that. Now, if we just take inventory of those of us who are in the room and maybe watching online, if this statistic is true, that means one for every three people in this room right now feel alone. For every person watching online, one out of every three people feels alone. And I'd be willing to believe that that number might be actually higher. It reveals that many people are lonely. That we can have thousands of friends on social media, but you don't have just that one person that you can call and talk to for hours. So we got many followers, but still feel alone. Ain't it interesting? Ain't it interesting how, like, even on Facebook, people are called friends? You friends with people you ain't never met before. Come on, how many of y'all done accept, you've accepted friend requests from people you ain't even know? You just saw mutual friends. And you accepted them. Oh, I guess I must know them. But you don't know them. Let me tell you who your real friends are. Who is the one or the ones that call you when you are going through a breakdown in your life? Or who are the ones that you can call when you're going through a breakdown in your life and they can bring forth some help and encouragement during those times of your life? Because that list on social media begins to shrink real quick when you're going through. And what many people feel in this season is loneliness. Because we've done a great job at cultivating relationships on the surface, but have no substance. And what God wants for us is to experience the gift of presence. And in this passage, we see this because God sends his angel by the name of Gabriel to Nazareth to give this message to a young woman by the name of Mary, who's preparing to get married to a brother named Joseph. Now, in case you didn't know this, a little bit of Bible study, Mary and Joseph were not like 40, 50 years old. They were actually teenagers. And back in that day and time, when you were of a certain age, you were able to be married. A little bit different than it was in our day and context. And maybe that has a lot to do with the maturity level of people and a lot to do with their relationship with God and things of that nature. Nonetheless, Mary and Joseph were only in their 40s and 50s when they were engaged to be married. They were young, which lets me know something about God, that God is a generational God, that he doesn't just want to use and bless older generations. He wants to bless the youngest to the oldest, the 2-year-old to the 52-year-old. God is a God of all generations. And it's interesting that God sends this message to this young woman by the name of Mary by one of his chief angels by the name of Gabriel. Now, in case you don't know anything about Gabriel, Gabriel was an angel that God would oftentimes use to bring important messages to people that were of supreme importance. But what's interesting is that this is important, this message that Gabriel is bringing to Mary, and it's valuable not just because of the message, but it's because of where this message is going to and who it's going to. Because Gabriel is sent by God to Mary, who happens to live in a place called Nazareth. Somebody say Nazareth. Now, in case you don't know anything about Nazareth, Nazareth was a very, very, very small town of about 100 people, maybe less than that. It was considered to be the rough area of Galilee. In other words, you avoid that place at night. Some will call Nazareth the hood. It was looked down upon in the eyes of the people. It was a very poor town, an impoverished town. Nothing was attractive about Nazareth. Nobody was going on Expedia.com and saying, we're going to plan our vacation trip to Nazareth. This was not a destination space to go to. People would go out of their way to not go to Nazareth. And it was, matter of fact, this common sentiment that later on a person would say, what good, or can anything good come out of Nazareth? That was the sentiment back in that time. Can anything good come from the hood? Because Nazareth is not the place that you go to because it's not attractive. So when we look at Mary and understand the city that she lives in and the town that she lives in, what we also understand is that Mary herself was poor. She came from poverty. She lived in an impoverished place called Nazareth preparing to get married. Let me help us understand something about Nazareth. Nazareth was not a favorable place. It was an overlooked place. It was an obscure place. I would even say it like this for the sake of our message. It could be looked at as a lonely place. Nazareth was lonely. And while none of us watching online or here in person have lived in Nazareth before, I think many of us in here either are living or have lived in a place called loneliness before. We've lived in a place called obscurity. We've been in times in our lives where you felt alone and by yourself. Just by show of hands, how many of y'all have ever felt like you were alone in certain times and certain spaces in your life? I'm raising both hands because I felt that myself. There's been plenty of times in my life where I felt alone, where you may feel misunderstood. You feel like you're not loved. You feel like you're not valued. You feel like you have been forsaken. You smile on the outside while you're suffering on the inside. You feel alone. And I think when we look at our day and time and the culture that we live in right now, there are many people right now who feel alone. Christmas season, for many, is a high. For others, it can be a low. Because for many, it's a time where somebody is not going to be at the dinner table or at the Christmas home opening up gifts like they were last year. And so there can be this hole that might be present in our heart. There can be a sense of loneliness there. Many of us right now may have walked through some things, especially over the past 2 years, as difficult as it has been for many people, where you have felt alone, where it's felt cold, where it feels like you've maybe been abandoned. Many of us have even asked this question, whether you admit it or not. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but it's rhetorical in nature. How many of y'all have ever asked the question, God, where are you in the midst of what I'm going through right now? Where are you? Because it feels real cold in my life right now. You said you came to bring hope and peace, joy. But what I'm going through right now, I don't really feel that. How many of y'all have felt like that before? Come on, can we be honest? Well, we've walked through some moments in our life where it feels like we're alone. Maybe feels like you've been overlooked. Overlooked by people. Maybe feels like you've been abandoned. Some of you have stories where you've come from abandonment in your own life. Some of you are here today, you're watching online, and you were left up for adoption. Your parents, your birth parents may have left you on the side of a road. And you've been wrestling with your own significance and your own value throughout the course of your life because of it. You've been asking yourself the question, am I alone? Does God love me? Do other people love me? Do I have a sense of self-worth? Do I have purpose? And many of us have walked through these hard, cold, difficult moments in our life. We felt alone. But the good news is this. In the midst of you feeling alone, in the midst of you feeling abandoned, in the midst of you feeling overlooked, God has a strange way of showing up in the most overlooked, in the most obscure, in the most abandoned, in the most unlikely, in the most unfavorable. God has a way of showing up to those people who feel alone and who feel left outside, who feel abandoned. God has a way of showing up in the midst of our loneliness, showing up in the midst of difficulty. Why? Because he wants to give us the gift of his presence. Someone say presence. God has these gifts that he wants you and I to experience this season. And it's not what may be on your Christmas list. It's not a pair of diamond earrings. It's not some new Jordans, the cool grays that came out a few weeks ago, which actually they're pretty dope though. I ain't gonna lie. But that's not what God has for you, because those things can wear off over time. And those things don't help you when you feel lonely. God wants to give you something much greater. He wants to give you a remedy for loneliness. He wants to give you a solution for you feeling alone. And you know what the solution is? His presence. God wants to give you a present called presence. Ain't that crazy? He wants to give you something that will stay with you even when people aren't around. He wants to give you something that will stay with you even when you don't have a lot of money. He wants to give you something that will stay with you even when you lose a loved one. He wants to give you something that will stay with you even when people walk out on your life, and that gift is called His presence. He says, I don't want to just give you peace and joy in this season. I want to give you my presence too. And when we look at this passage of Scripture, we see God communicating that to us by sending Gabriel. He sends Gabriel to this woman by the name of Mary in a place that nobody would imagine, called Nazareth. And it's interesting because just like God, this wasn't some spare of the moment thing that God did. He actually planned to do this. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. You remember that verse that we read earlier? And this will be the sign for you. A virgin will give birth to a child, and they will call him Emmanuel. Well, that sounds familiar because here in Luke chapter 1, Mary's a virgin preparing to be married to Joseph. And then Gabriel shows up and tells her these words. Greetings, O favorite one. The Lord is with you. Isaiah 7, 14. Virgin will be with child, and they will say him, call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And now here in Luke chapter 1, Gabriel comes and tells her, greetings, O favorite one. The Lord is with you. Which helps us to see something about God. God was way ahead of the moment of loneliness that you are experiencing right now. And He had already planned to show up in the midst of your lonely moments. I want you to understand that what you're feeling right now, it is not accidental. It is not coincidental at all. God did not fall asleep at the wheel. God already knew that He was going to show up in your life in the most ugliest, darkest, and loneliest times in your life. He is Emmanuel, God with us. God with us in the dark moments. God with us in the bad moments. God with us in the high moments. God with us in the low moments. God is with you. He made this promise hundreds of years ago before Mary was even born. So scriptures like Jeremiah chapter 1, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I already planned it out. I already had a plan. I already had a strategy. I already had it. I had it set up from eternity. I already knew that when you would go through that dark, ugly moment in your life, that I was going to show up. I already knew how to situate things to happen in your life so that way you would know that I'm with you. Which lets us know something about God's presence. That God's presence for us is a gift that He planned. Remember earlier we talked about how for kids, they make Christmas lists? Well, many parents already know not just what their kid wants, but already know what their kid needs. And I want you to understand, you have a loving Father in heaven who knew exactly what you would need before you needed it. And this Christmas season is all about how God is fulfilling His promise. He made a promise hundreds of years ago through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, and He is now fulfilling this promise here in the book of Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 45. God is a promise keeper. He is a promise fulfiller. Does what He says He's going to do. And I love how Gabriel says here, greetings, O favored woman, verse 28, the Lord is with you. That word favor, we talked about it last week. It means God's undeserved, unearned, unending kindness. It is God doing for you what you and I cannot do for ourselves. It is God just saying, I'm going to show love to you just because I love you. Not because you earned it. Not because you're good. Mary didn't deserve or do anything to earn carrying the Messiah in her womb. She didn't win the lottery in a contest. She didn't put, hey, I'm going to put my name in the hat to carry the Messiah. Like, she didn't do that. No. It was God who said, I'm going to favor you, Mary. I'm gonna do something that will blow your mind. And through God sending Gabriel to Mary to tell her that God is with you, we see that he wants us to know today that he too is with us. I don't know what you're walking through right now, but I want you to understand God is with you. I know you're walking through some hardships right now, but I want you to know that God is with you. Life might be great right now. I want you to know that God is with you. God is not fair weather in his commitment. He's not fickle in his faithfulness. He is consistent. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He ain't going nowhere. He's with you. Doesn't matter how rough it is, God is with you. And what the enemy would convince us to believe is that the presence of problems means the absence of God. That's not true. Because Jesus said, in this life you will have much trouble, but take joy because I've overcome the world. Take joy because I'm with you. And I'd be willing to argue, you might not see God more closer to you except when you go through hard moments. Come on, there are some things that you have not understood about God or would not have understood about God had you not gone through some dark moments. There were some things that you would not have seen about God had you not gone through some hardship and some difficulty and some setback. Come on, how would you know that God is a healer if you never got sick? How would you know that God is a provider if you were never dead broke? How would you know that he's a friend who sits closer than a brother if you didn't have people walk out on you? There are certain things about God that you only understand in lonely moments. And one of those key things is his presence. His presence is oftentimes most seen in the absence of things that we think we need. You think you need more money? No, you need more presence. You think you need a new bae? No, you need Jesus. You think the answer is a new job? No, you need to start with God. Can I get on a little rant right now? You know, like one of the things that oftentimes we're oftentimes praying for God to remove us from hard situations, but yet we want his blessings without realizing that his blessings oftentimes flow through hard situations and circumstances. Everybody wants the crown, right? But don't nobody want to get a cross? You get no crown without a cross. But we live in such a quote-unquote comfortable situation, a comfortable culture where it's all about do what feels right, and I just want to be comfortable. I want you to understand something. There ain't nothing comfortable about the Christian faith, because there's nothing comfortable about life. This earth ain't our home. We are passing through. So in this life, I'm going to have hardships, but the reason why I can have joy is because in the midst of the hardships, I can have God. No cross, no crown. No story, no glory. God says, there's something I want to teach you and give to you in these times of loneliness. I want to give you my presence. And here's why. Because in these times where we feel alone, God gives us his presence, and it's so important us to understand this, because number one, I want you to write this down, God's presence always brings comfort. So when we look at verses 26 through 33, notice what the Bible says. After Gabriel goes to Mary, verse 28, the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favorite woman, the Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled by this statement. She was troubled. Somebody say troubled. That word troubled means anxious. She was nervous. She was afraid, but notice what the text says. Then the angel told her, verse 30, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." The reason why she does not have to be anxious is because God is with her. The reason she doesn't have to be troubled, this is what the angel's trying to help her understand, is because God is with you. You think this situation is actually bad, but I'm actually here to let you know it's actually something that's favorable because God is with you in it. And what the angel is trying to help her to see is, I'm bringing you a message of good news because I'm letting you know that God is with you, and if God is with you, if his presence is with you, that means he brings his comfort with him. This is why in the Bible, the presence of God, as we know as the Holy Spirit, is called the Comforter. Because he comforts us in our times of affliction. So if you're going through hard, lonely, difficult moments, I want you to understand that God is with you and he wants to bring you comfort. The reason why you can walk through lonely, dark moments and still not lose your mind is because God is with you. Here's what David says in Psalm 23. We know the scripture. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. All that. Jump down to verse 4, though. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger. Why? For you are what? With me. Even when I go through a lonely path, it seems like, he's with me. So I'm never alone. No matter what I feel like, my feelings cannot supersede the truth. I want you to understand something in here. Feelings are great indicators, but terrible instructors. We don't follow our feelings, we follow the truth. I don't feel like God is with you. You might not feel like it, but the truth is he is with you. And you need to start preaching to the emotions that you feel that will try to convince you that God is not with you. No, God is with you, never to leave you nor forsake you. And if you know that, it brings you comfort. So notice what he says, your rod and your staff, they what? Comfort me. I want you to write this down. The presence of God brings comfort to the problems of life. What are the problems that you're experiencing right now? Because I want you to know this, if God is with you, he brings you comfort in the midst of it. Let me ask you this question. Come on, I want you to look at me now. What are you anxious about right now? This is a question I have to ask. I kind of ask myself this multiple times during the week. What are you anxious about? What are you losing sleep about? What are you stressing about? Because whatever those things are, you need to submit them to God himself. And know this, that he's with you. So the reason why you don't have to be stressed about stuff and anxious about stuff and worried about stuff is because God is with you. And if he's with me, he's got me. This is why Paul can say emphatically in Philippians chapter 4, be anxious for nothing. What are you anxious about right now? Online family, what are you anxious about right now? How can you tell what you're anxious about? What do you think about all the time? Because that is how you look at life. That becomes your filter. And when anxiety is present in your heart, and when you're stressed, and when you're worrying, now you interpret all of life through that lens and that perspective. But God says, you don't have to worry about this because I'm with you. You don't have to give in to these things because I'm with you. Depression doesn't have to win because I'm with you. Grief doesn't have to win because I'm with you. Loneliness doesn't have to win because I am with you. I want you to understand, whatever it is that you're going through right now, whatever it is that you're carrying right now, I want you to know this. God is with you. You are not alone. You are not by yourself. You don't have to carry the weight of things. You don't have to stress out about things. And I know that sounds like pie in the sky, but the scripture says, I don't have to worry about stuff and to be anxious about nothing, then I can trust him that he's with me and I don't have to worry about stuff. So I trust him. I put my hope in him. And he brings comfort to me. And part of the reason why many of us walk around with an anxious presence about us is because we have forgotten the truth that God is with us. What are you stressed about? What are you anxious about? What are you worried about? Know that God is with you because he'll bring comfort. And when Gabriel goes to Mary and tells her, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Verse 33, now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Gabriel is giving Mary this message of good news to let her know, I know this sounds crazy, but it's all because God is with you. I want you to know that God is with you right now. I know right now you kind of are blown away by this, and I know right now it doesn't seem right, and things are not adding up, but I want you to know God is with you. Don't be anxious about this any longer. Don't lose any more sleep about this. Stop stressing about this. Stop worrying about this. God is with you. And not only does he bring comfort with his presence, he also brings clarity with his presence. Because notice what Mary says. She says the very thing that many of us in here would have asked. Because remember, she's a virgin, which means she's had no type of sexual relations with anybody. That's what the Bible says. Notice what she says here, her response to Gabriel. How can this be, since I ain't had sexual relations with nobody? Mr. Gabriel, I understand what you're saying. But me and Joseph have not done anything. We're trying to honor God in our relationship. We're committed to purity in our relationship. We've done nothing. So how in the world is this going to happen? And notice what the angel Gabriel's response is. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth, even she has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called childless. Verse 37, for nothing, somebody say nothing. For nothing will be impossible with God. Do you notice the constant language that is used here in Luke chapter 1? With God, with us, with God, with us. Because with God, not only comes comfort, but also comes clarity. What do I mean by clarity? Mary was confused as to how this would happen. But God speaks now, essentially through Gabriel, gives him this message and tells her, this is how it's going to go down. And here's what I want us to understand. It does not mean that when we are going through difficult moments that God will give us all the answers. But what God does do is he does begin to bring clarity with his presence. He does begin to help us to see some things, and things begin to make sense. Now, there are some things about God that we would never understand. That's why he's called and considered to be omniscient, because his ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. You will never and I will never be able to understand the mind of God fully. That's what makes him God. But in God's goodness, what he does do at times is he gives us clarity. Let me ask you another question. What are you confused about right now? Ask God to give you clarity. What are you struggling to see your way through right now? Ask God to give you clarity. He sees the end from the beginning. Why would we not tap into the presence of God? And what Gabriel's helping Mary understand and helping us understand is when you are walking through hard moments in your life, God will give clarity. Let me ask this a question. Have you ever walked through something in your life and you were trying to figure out how it would work out? Have you ever had a moment like that? Have you ever had a moment when you were looking at a situation and you're like, I don't know how this is going to work out? And oftentimes, this is what our anxiety is linked to. Because we're so infatuated with the how something will happen. But I want you to understand, the how is not your responsibility. That's where God operates. And many times the reason why we're so stressed is because we are trying to do God's job. And God's like, you can't do my job, because what I do are impossible in your own strength. But lean on me. Lean on my presence. And I'll give you clarity. And so Gabriel responds to Mary's question, how will he do this? And here's pretty much what Gabriel says: with his power. Because when God's presence is in our lives, he helps us to see his power. So notice what it says: the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And then he continues on. He says, not only will the power of the Most High overshadow you, but then he now begins to talk about the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth, even she has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called childless, for nothing will be impossible with God. I want you to see the power that's happening here. God gives Gabriel this message to give to Mary about something incredible that's going to happen. And almost as if Mary was like maybe having a hard time believing, we don't know, but here's what Gabriel tells Mary. Oh, we want you to understand that God, this ain't the first time that God has done a miraculous thing. Oh, Mary, you need proof? Look at your cousin Elizabeth. Because for years, they told her she would never have a baby. For years, they told her womb was closed. For years, people thought that she was cursed because she could never have a kid. But here is old Elizabeth in her old age. She is 6 months pregnant and in her last trimester. Why? Trimester? Why? Because with God, nothing is impossible. And when we have God with us, we realize that nothing is impossible. We begin to see his power. Theologians call him the omnipotent one, which means he has all power. Things that we think are impossible, God says, no, that's light work for me. That's everyday stuff for me. If we can believe that God can suspend the sun in the sky and the stars in the sky, if we can believe, I read something the other day where scientists and astrologers are discovering new planets, new solar systems. They're just now discovering this stuff. And I'm like, my mind is blown because we've been here for hundreds of years and we got all this technology and we're still discovering stuff. If God can do that, what makes you think he can't handle what you're going through? If he has the power to do things that are unbelievable, do you not think he can handle what you're battling right now? All you need is his presence. Because if you have his presence, you begin to see his power. Here's what Jeremiah 32:27 says, in case you need some scripture. Look, I am the Lord, the God over every creature. Is anything too difficult for me? Is anything too hard? Come on, I want you to begin to insert the thing that you are struggling with right now. Is blank too hard for God? Is filling the blank too hard for God? Let me help you. Is depression too hard for God? Is divorce too hard for God? Making it after that? Is experiencing loss and making it after that too hard for God? Is this crisis that I'm dealing with right now, is it too hard for God? Because if God can open up a womb of a woman who was thought to never have a child throughout the rest of your life, there is no in vitro fertilization here. There is none of that type of stuff right now. And if God can open up the womb of Elizabeth, who everybody thought was done and her best days were behind her, if God can't do that, what makes you think he can't handle your stuff? All you need is God's presence. And the reason why this is good news is because if you got God with you, if God is with you, you have access to all this. But not only does God reveal his power in the form of clarity, not only does he help us to understand his power, because there are certain things that only God can do. And here's the word I want to give some of us right before I move on. For some of us, it's time for you to get out of the way of God. like you're interfering with what God is trying to do in your life and do for your life. Like you're trying to micromanage the miracle. Like, can you get out of the way? Somebody say, get out of the way. Like, get out of the way. Some of us have been blaming the devil. The devil been blocking my blessings. No, it's actually you. You in the way. Get out of the way and let God have his way. Because with you, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And when we have God's presence, he reveals his power, but he also reveals our purpose. So notice what Mary says after Gabriel gives her this news. Verse 36 or 38, I am the Lord's servant, said Mary. May it be done to me according to your word. Then the angel left her. When you have God's presence in your life, he begins to give you clarity of what you are called to do. So Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. She was clear on what God wanted her to do with her life and aware of God being with her. She was called to be the carrier of Jesus. And many of us have been trying to figure out, what is my purpose? And I want you to understand, God's purpose is found in God's presence. When you are with him, but more importantly, when he is with you, that's when you begin to understand his purpose for your life. And if I'm not actively submitting to the presence of God, what's going to happen is I'm going to try to fill my life with things that God never called me to do. God says, no. Let me do this. And Mary begins to understand, okay, this is what I'm called to do. This is my purpose. I want you to write this down. Take a screenshot of it. When we become aware of God's presence in our life, we become aware of his purpose for our life. When we become aware of God's presence in our life, we also become aware of God's purpose for our life. And you know what the purpose of your life is to be? I'm going to save you thousands of dollars of therapy trying to figure out what you're called to do. Now I'm all for it. Go there. But when it comes to purpose, only God can give you that. You know what your purpose is in life? To be just like Mary. To be a carrier of the Christ. Let me say it again because I don't think you got it. Just as God through Jesus was with Mary, you and I are supposed to also live our lives carrying Jesus with us as well. That's your purpose. To know him and to make him known. That's your purpose. And that's why Mary says, I'm the Lord's servant. Have your way. You work through me, Lord. When I went to college back in 2003, I went there with the intent, I'm going to graduate and be an electrical engineer. That was my understanding. About a year and some change in, I realized God had other plans. I haven't called you to build buildings and to build systems. I've called you to build people. That's what I'm calling you to do. Somebody once said it like this, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. I'm planning to do this. God's like, oh, really? Your plans are too small. Mary, your plans are too small. You thought you and Joseph was just going to get married and just have a bunch of kids and then get old and die. No, I got bigger plans for you, Mary. And I know, Mary, it's going to sound crazy to other people. I know when you tell Joseph, he's going to flip out because he's going to think that you done had sex with somebody and you done cheated on him. Mary, I know when you go tell Joseph, I'm pregnant and it happened through the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, who's never even heard of the Holy Spirit, is going to be like, who? Holy who? He did what? Which is why later on the scripture says that another angel had to appear to Joseph in a dream and be like, hey, what has happened is actually true. What Mary is telling you is true. Mary, you're going to go through some ostracization. People are going to begin to say things about you that are not true. People are going to mischaracterize you. Mary, there's going to be times where you feel like you're by yourself. Mary, there's going to be times where people are going to look at you and they're going to begin to size you up and you're going to begin to have a baby bump and they're going to start to put two and two together and they're going to begin to think that you cheated on Joseph. All these things are going to happen, but I want you to understand it's my purpose at work in you. I got a purpose for you, Mary. Y'all heard that song during Christmas time, Mary, did you know? Right? Some of y'all are like, well, obviously she did know because the angel told her what was going to happen. Mary didn't know the full extent of what was going to happen. She didn't know Jesus was going to walk on water. She didn't know Jesus was going to feed 5,000 with two fish and five loaves of bread. She didn't know that Jesus was going to come and deal with the racial tension and bring people together from every nation, tribe, tongue, and language and create a whole new family called the church. She didn't know that. She just knew that she was carrying a Savior, but she didn't understand the full implications of that. So can you imagine Mary having a front row seat to her son, Jesus, coming from the Holy Spirit as she's raising him up? There was a scene in the book of Luke. Matter of fact, this next chapter in Luke chapter 2, the Bible says all the family was out. They were doing all this type of stuff. And then Jesus at 12 years old was in the temple and in the synagogue. And when they were trying to find him, they had lost him for 3 days. And then they came back and found him in the temple. And Mary is confused and she's upset. And she's like, how in the world, Jesus, could you do this to us? And Jesus was like, don't you know I got to be about my father's business and be in my father's house? She didn't have no understanding of this. Could you imagine her seeing Jesus do crazy stuff at the crib as a 12, 13-year-old? Hold on, he done made this whole log float around the house. Wait a minute, something ain't right here. Oh, he different. He built different. There you know. But she had purpose. And she made herself available. Her plans were small. God's purpose was big. And when you have access to God's presence, he begins to reveal his purpose. Can I really mess with you right now? I'm gonna come to you right now. I'm gonna mess with you, all of us. What you think you want to do with your life is really small compared to the purpose of God for your life. Oh, you thought you were going to school to get a degree for one thing? God had other plans. There's something else that God wants to do in your life. Oh, you thought you were going to marry that person. God said, no. They will train wreck your life and cause you to be passive with the purpose I have for your life. No. You know what I'm praying as your pastor? Probably won't like me for this. I pray God ruins whatever plans you have to get to his purpose. Some of y'all are like, Pastor, I hate you right now. It's cool. I would hate me too. But I say that on the other side of walking in God's purpose. I'm glad God ruined my plans. God came and ruined the plans of Mary and Joseph for good reason. Because the weight of the world was on this whole thing. And when we have God's presence, he begins to reveal his purpose. But here's another thing that comes with God's presence. I want you to write this down and we're done. He not only brings comfort, he not only brings clarity. Here's another thing. I really need us to get this today, especially in this time when we're talking about loneliness. He also, through his presence, brings community. So let's look at verse 39. Notice what the Bible says. In those days, Mary set out and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside of her. Because remember, Elizabeth was pregnant with who we know as now to be John the Baptist. The baby leaped inside of her, and Elizabeth, watch this, was filled with the Holy Spirit. Presence of God. Then she exclaimed, that's my son on the front row. Then she exclaimed with a loud cry, watch this. Blessed are you among women, and your child will be blessed. Is she blessed because she got a lot of money? Is she blessed because she got the job of her dreams? No. Elizabeth says, you are blessed because you are carrying the Messiah. Because God is with you. Blessed are you among women, and your child will be blessed. Verse 43, how could this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For you see, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped for joy inside of me. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill what he has spoken to her. I want you to see the powerful nature here. Right after this encounter with Gabriel, what does Mary do? She runs to her relative Elizabeth. Here's the principle I want us to understand about God's presence. Because God wasn't just at work in Mary and Joseph's life. He was also at work in Zechariah and Elizabeth's life. Which helps us to see something very, very powerful. That God's presence is at work, not just in a person, but through people. Which means this, once again, you are not alone. Because I want you to understand something powerful about the presence of God. That just as God is at work in one person's life, he's at work in another person's life. And the awesome thing is, when those people get together, something powerful happens. Something explosive happens. Something major happens. Because there's community. I want you to understand something. God's presence is often seen through the presence of his people. And this is why the local church, in my opinion, is the hope of the world through Christ. This is the whole purpose of the church. And one of the things, can I get on another rant, that I'm so sick and tired of people doing in today's time is attacking the church. Do you not understand that the church is considered to be the bride of Christ? And when you talk bad about the church, you're talking bad about the Savior and the husband being Jesus. Let me tell you something. If you slap my wife, we have a problem. Pause. When we come against the bride of Christ, we're coming against the bridegroom himself. He died for the church. And his church is his people. And he's placed his people. Yes, the church is imperfect. Why? Because the church is filled with imperfect people.
course. Newsflash, you make up the church. You and your imperfect self. Me and my imperfect self. It's not perfect, but it is God's purpose. It is the community. And what God says is, with my presence comes community. Because God's desire is that no person would be alone. And the way that he creates community for people is through his people, the church. That's why I believe that not only is the local church the hope of the world in Christ, but I believe the best place for us to invest our life, our time, our talents, our treasures is in the local church, because we are creating space for people who feel alone, who are abandoned spiritually, to find refuge in Christ Jesus. The church is home. It's a hospital. It's not a museum. It's a hospital. So people can come here jacked up, messed up, high, drunk, shot up in their arms. It does not matter. It is the church. It is for all people, every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every language. Here's what Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says. And this is a verse that I need us all to understand, especially in a time that we have lived in for the past 2 years called COVID, and where there's been distance and things of this nature, because the one thing that the enemy wants us to experience is distance from his people. Here's what Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Watch verse 25. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Let us not forsake the assembling of the saints. You want to know why church is so important? Because without it, you can't experience the fullness of what God has for you. Notice when Mary got this news, she didn't stay to herself. Where did she go? To another sister in Christ. The church. You need the church. Watching online. This is why it's important. Every week you log on online. I don't care if you got slippers and drawers on. Yes, I just said that from the pulpit. Sorry. Doesn't matter. You need the church. For those of us who live locally, this is why it's important. You can go everywhere else. You need to be in church. Bless God for those of us who are here. So good to see you. You need this. Because there's something powerful when we get together. Remember what Elizabeth said? When I heard your greeting, something leaped up on the inside of me. And I can't tell you how many times over the past 7 years, people who have walked through these doors and other locations before we got here a few years ago, how many times people have walked through these doors, and when they walked through these doors and they heard a song sung, they saw somebody smile at them, they checked their kids back in to be kids, they heard a word preached, they were greeted, whatever the case may be, that something leaped and came alive on the inside of them. We need the church. We need community. So this is why Sunday worship is so important. This is why our connect groups is important, because Sunday morning is not enough. You got to be in community with people throughout the week. This is why what we do here at our church called Growth Track is important, because we help you begin to find your purpose. We're doing it right at the church today. All this is important because it's allowing you to be connected to God's people. That's why it's important to serve on a team, because you're connected with others. God is at work in the life of others. And here's what I want you to understand. Because God is our Father, and we are his kids, for those of us who put our faith and trust in Jesus. When you get around one of your brothers and sisters in Christ, and God is moving in their life, that's not the time to get jealous. Celebrate. You notice here, Elizabeth wasn't jealous of Mary. She's celebrating with Mary. Why? Because if he's doing this for you, he can also do this for me. So God blesses you, I'm going to celebrate that, because I feel like I got blessed too. That's why the Bible says, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. We're tied and tethered together. Somebody say, we're better together. We need community. You need one another. And the enemy is working overtime to discredit the church and to discredit the value of the church. Let me help you understand something. The church has survived much worse than COVID over the past 2,000 years.
The church has survived attacks. The church has survived racism. The church has survived prejudice. The church has survived all types of stuff. The church has survived Emperor Nero back in the 2,000 plus years ago. The church is still the church. Why is the church still here? Because of who the church is built on. The one who never dies. The one who never goes away. The one who is always faithful. The one who's always an ever-present help in a time of trouble. It's built on the rock. Jesus himself. Church ain't going nowhere. Not one bit. Governments will rise and fall, but God's people, still intact. In a time where there's a whole lot of things being closed up, new churches getting planted. What about the churches that are shutting down? Oh, I think God is just reassigning people. But his church is going to continue to move forward. Ain't nothing going to stop his movement. Because with God, all things are possible. We need his people. We need community. And through Jesus, God is not just with Mary. I'm going to close with this. Because remember, the prophecy was, they'll name him Emmanuel. They'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. But what's so powerful about this passage is not only is God with her, but God now, through Jesus, is in her. She is carrying God himself in Jesus in her womb. It is a foreshadow of what Jesus promised to do for every person who trusts in him. That when you put your faith and trust in him, he lives on the inside of you through the presence of his Holy Spirit. So this is what Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 says. God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's who? His church. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for Gentiles too, which means it is for everybody. And this is the secret. You know what the secret is? Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. Do you want to know what Christmas is about? Christmas isn't just about Christ being with you, but Christ being in you. I thought some of us would get more excited about that. Because it's one thing for God to be with me, but it's a whole nother thing for him to be on the inside of me. Which is why the writer can say this, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. What can separate us from the love of God? Not death, not famine, not nakedness, not persecution, nothing. Why? Not just because God is with me, but because God is in me, which means this, it does not matter what I might be facing right now. It does not matter what I'm up against. You might be facing depression, but I want you to know God is with you. He is in you. You might be facing loneliness. I want you to know God is with you. He is in you. You might be facing difficulty. God is with you. He is in you. And when you begin to survey your life and look about all the things that have happened in your life, it is because not that you were that smart. It's not because you were that finesse. It was not because you had all the degrees. It was because God was with you. The reason why you graduated, God was with you. The reason why you overcame, God was with you. The reason why you got through, God was with you. Is anybody grateful to God that he's not just with you today, but that he is in you? In you. And we rejoice in this season because we got his presence, which means wherever I go is blessed. Some of you who are familiar with the Old Testament scripture, it says you will be blessed in your coming, you will be blessed in your going. What is that an allusion to? It's an allusion to the fact that God is with you always. So wherever you step, God is with you. You step into the job, it has to change because God is with you. He's in you. He's with you. Which means now I don't have to fall susceptible to the things of this world and to the things that the enemy would say because God is with you. And now as a Christian, for those of us who put our faith and trust in Jesus, you have the very presence of God. Do you not realize that the Old Testament saints would be foaming at the mouth for this opportunity? Because in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon people, but it wasn't permanent in people because God was saving that for a greater time.
and fulfilled through Jesus. Could you imagine David saying, I wish I could say the Spirit of God was in me? Do you know how much I would have been able to do for God? But you, me, we have God in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory.
You carry the very presence of God. And for those of us who are Christians in here, do you want to know what one of the greatest gifts that you could probably give to somebody in this season? It's not a gift from Target. It's not a gift from Amazon. One of the greatest gifts that you can give somebody in this season is the gift of presence. Be present with people. Be with them. Why is that so powerful? Because that's what Jesus did. The Bible says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is talking about Jesus. Jesus is the Word. And then later on in the Bible it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt with us. Jesus came to us to be with us. And for some of us in this season, God wants you to go carry him to other people. Bring the gift of his presence by bringing your presence. Like, actually call somebody and actually check on them and ask them how you're doing. You might have saved that person from committing suicide. Stop by their house. Hey, just want to check on you. Just want to stop and say what's up. Shoot them a text message. Hey, I'm thinking about you. Cross my mind. Just praying for you. Love you. God loves you. I love you too.
Give them presents. Because people feel so lonely right now. And God says, I'm calling my people to go carry my presence to a lonely people.
So this season, the gift of God's presence isn't just for you. It's for everyone as well. He says, I want you to not just be a receiver of my presence and a carrier of it, but someone who distributes it. I want you to be a carrier, someone who brings good news. Come alongside of people when they're going through hardship. Hey, I'm with you. I just want you to know God is with you, and I'm here with you to show you that God is with you. I know you're going through the unthinkable right now, but God is with you. I know the divorce is hard right now, but God is with you. I know your friends have turned their back on you, but God is with you. Most of you know here in our community, we recently had a shooting that took place. A young man, high school student, Mitchville High School. Woodside, it was a game this past week, this Tuesday night. Right after the game, a young man was shot, he was killed. A lot of brokenness. When we look at these type of things in our life, and we see these type of tragedies, it begs for the presence of God to be with people. So I just want to ask us a simple question. Will you be aware now of the presence of God? Will you receive his presence through faith in Christ? If you have, will you now go extend his presence to others? You might not be able to buy him a gift, but you can bring your presence. Watch what God does through that. I want to invite us all to stand to our feet as well. I believe God wants to do something very unique in all of our lives. He doesn't just want to do something for us. He wants to do something through us. He wants us to receive the gift of his presence. The way we do that is by trusting in Jesus. Once we receive Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, and we receive his presence now, he says, I want you to go now and bring my presence to others. So in this moment, just with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask us in this moment, if you would, feel comfortable, if you're able to, I want to invite you to stretch your hands before God, to lift up your hands to God as a symbolic act. Say, God, I want your presence. I want your presence. In my marriage, I want your presence in my kids. I want your presence in my life as a young person, as a student. I want your presence in my school. I want your presence in my family. I want your presence with my friends. I want your presence. More than anything else, more than
your shoes. More than a new house, a new car, I want your presence. Because in your presence, there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Your presence. Come on. Come on, church. Begin to ask for his presence. Come on, online. I want you to begin to stretch your hands out right where you are. God, I want your presence. I want your presence. Father, for every outstretched hand, we are hungry for you. We are hungry for more of you. For those of us who say yes to Jesus, Father, we thank you for salvation in Christ. Basic relationship with you. No, we want to know you in a greater way. God, would you make us aware of your presence in a greater way? Would you help us to see your presence on our job? Would you help us to see your presence in our home? Would you help us to be more aware of your presence and how you're at work in our lives in so many different ways? Would you forgive us, Father, for being distracted by so many other things and missing the blessing of your presence in this season? Spirit, that you would baptize us afresh with your Spirit in this moment. That your young people would dream dreams, your old people will see visions, as your word says. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and eyes are still closed in person and online. Some of you are here today. The thing that you need to ask for right now is God to save your soul. Already made a way through his son Jesus. He sent Jesus to earth to save you from your sin, past, present, and future. Your sin is what separates you from God. Your sin is what has caused hostility between you and God. But God loved you so much that he wanted to do away with it by sending his son Jesus to not just live a perfect life, but to die a perfect death on the cross, to shed his blood, to cover all of your sins, past, present, and future. And God raised him back to life on the third day to let you know that in Christ you can have a new life. So if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, I want to receive Christ into my life. I want to have him in my heart. I want to have him in my soul, just like Mary had him. I want to receive him as my Lord and as my Savior. Would you repeat these words after me? Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for being with me through the highs and lows. In your name I pray. And everyone said amen. Come on, church family, can we put our hands